The dramatic rescue in Iraq yesterday of Army Private First Class Jessica Lynch is a reminder that women are sharing the risks of war. Lynch was one of three American women who had been reported captured or missing in the Iraq War. One in seven U.S. military personnel in the Iraq campaign is a woman, and more than 200,000 women serve in the U.S. Armed Forces. More women than ever before are in combat positions, on ships, on air missions. NPR special correspondent Susan Stamberg spoke with two experts about the new role and new dangers for women at war.
They were ambushed, they took a wrong turn, they disappeared or were captured. The terrified face of specialist Shoshana Johnson, an Army cook 30 years old at POW, caught in the glare of her interrogator's questions. What is the difference when a woman is a prisoner of war? With me in the studio, Captain Laurie Manning, retired after more than 25 years in the Navy. How would you answer that, Captain?
It has an emotional impact on people, but whether it makes any difference to the woman who's the prisoner herself that she's a woman as opposed to a man, probably not. I think it's a terrifying experience for men and women, and the terrible things that could happen to a POW can happen to a male or female POW.
Dr. Judy Bellafere is with us. She is chief historian at the Women in Military Service Memorial Foundation over at Arlington National Cemetery. Women were taken prisoner in the first Gulf War. Any difference in their experience in comparison to that of male POWs?
Well, certainly not that I am aware of. I think they were treated pretty much as their fellow male prisoners were.
Why then, if you don't see much gender difference, did we have such strong reactions when we saw that terrified face of Shoshana Johnson on television? Men have looked scared to us when we've seen them in captivity, but society had a different reaction when it was a woman.
The emotion grabs you, and there's no denying that. But what we have to be careful of is not equating the fact that she is obviously scared with the fact that to mean that she doesn't have the physical, the mental, the emotional, the spiritual resources to endure that fear.
Don't punish her, you're saying, because she looks frightened?
Right. The men are frightened, but they have been trained to bite back the fear, and you can almost see those poor guys biting back their fear, trying to be brave.
When did the role of women in the military really begin to change? Dr. Bellafere?
Well, I believe that it really happened with the establishment of the all-volunteer force in 1973, because at that point in time, then you had more women coming into the military. And as the numbers of women slowly increased, then the number of positions that they can hold also increase. And at that point, that's when things are going to be changing.
The combat positions that opened to women were not ground combat. That's still closed to women. The Navy and the air stuff that opened to women, and it's because they can do it. And if, let's face it, if the trade-off both on the parent question and on the women question is to go back to the draft, when you have an all-volunteer force, you get a more married force, you get a more female force.
And an older force.
And an older force, and a force with lots more children, of single parents. And the answer to those who don't like that is, then we have to have a discussion within the country to bring back the draft for young, single, probably of both sexes. And I don't think we want to go there either.
Thank you both very much. Captain Laurie Manning, U.S. Navy retired. Dr. Judy Bellafere, chief historian at the Women in Military Service for America Memorial Foundation. I'm Susan Stamberg, NPR News, Washington.